Welcome to the Journey Church podcast. Whether you've never stepped foot in a church before, or you wanted to hear Sunday sermon one more time, thank you for listening. It's our prayer that you find this message encouraging and that it helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Let's get into it.
So, we've been in the middle of this sermon series, Christianness, and last week, you remember, we got to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you weren't here. This guy's dealing with the church that looks Christian, but their hearts are far from God. So he's like, we got to correct some stuff. And the one thing that he talked about last week was sex. He was like, man, this culture is very promiscuous. So let's establish the boundaries of sex, right? God made sex, so get married, have lots of sex. That's essentially what he said. That was my sermon. Gonna get an amen there. And so, and as you can imagine, so I bet last week, I'm not a prophet at all, but I can bet there were single people in this room last week that were like, darn, right? And then you were like, I want to get married. And you've been praying all week, right? I want to get married, right? You're 13. You're not getting married yet, right? Like you got time. And so, or like I want to get married and you feel kind of anxious about your situation. Or there was a married couple in here and I'm talking about a healthy sex life with that person and your marriage is so dysfunctional and there's so much pain and you're like, I wish I could get divorced from them and do it again. Like, try this again. Or some of you are married to somebody and they weren't here last week and you heard that message and you were like, I just wish they were a believer. Like, we could have oneness, not only, you know, through the act of sex, but through intimacy and our spiritual life. And you're like, man, I just wish that I wasn't in this situation and maybe God can get me out of it. And like, or maybe you heal them. And then I guarantee you there was somebody in here who was married for years. And you flash back to all those good times you had with that spouse, but your spouse passed away and it creates sadness. And you don't like that situation. So you have all these different situations going on. As you can imagine, I think even in that day and age, he's like dealing with single people going, okay, we want to get married, married people, I don't want to be married. And so Paul is going to deal, it's like a Shady Maple chapter, like, he deals with singles. He's like, stay single. It's a gift. But if it's not, if you're going to burn, get married. And then he deals with the married people that are married to somebody who's not a believer. No, you can't leave them. You're part of their sanctification process. Like, you love them well, and they'll experience Jesus through you. He deals with the widows. He deals with all sorts of situations. And then he has this one verse that I want to land on, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 17. This is where we're going to land today. He says, nevertheless, so he explains all these situations, same as I think we created last week. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has. Can y'all see that word? What does that word say?
Assigned.
I want you to say it again.
Assigned.
I want you to say it again.
Assigned.
This is all I want you to remember today. Each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned them to, just as God has called them there. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been assigned something you wish you weren't? Some of you are going to start school in a week. School sucks, right? Like, you didn't ask for those assignments. They just tell you what to do. Anybody married in this place? You have a spouse, maybe a wife, always giving you assignments you didn't ask for? Hey, you look comfortable right there. Mow the grass, right? Like, yeah. Assignments. When I was in college, I always tell people I played college basketball, which is not impressive at all. I played at a little tiny Bible college. Pretty much everybody made it that tried out. And I was probably the 16th or 17th player on the team. Five people start on the team. That means there was three full basketball rosters and teams, and then me. I played, thought I was good until I got there, realized you're not that good. I played. And I was like, well, at least I'm on the team. At least, like, when girls look over on the bench, I'll be part of the team. They see the roster, team, right? Like, number, I'll be able to tell them. I'm number 8 on Southwestern Assemblies of God University Lions basketball team, right? NAIA Division 1, right? Like, all this stuff. And, like, they didn't even put me on the roster. They redshirted me, which in real colleges is like, you have the potential to go play, you know, further, maybe be a professional, and like, we're going to redshirt you so you don't lose your eligibility. They redshirted me because they are Christians and they felt bad about cutting me. And so put me on the end of the bench. Didn't even give me a uniform, didn't even give me a number, right? On the end of the bench, not even a nothing, street clothes. Then I'm at the game and I'm like, not even part of the team. And I'm like, well, at least I'm on the bench. They're like, you have a job. I'm like, what's my job? They gave me a clipboard and they're like, we need you to confirm with the official scorekeeper, the rebound. So your job is to put little marks and keep track of people's rebounds. Man, I quit that after one game. I was like, I'm not doing this. I didn't want the assignment. You know what I'm talking about? A few years later, I moved to Boyertown. I was walking by Friday night. We didn't have kids yet, so I was going to go exercise. Walking by the gym, it's in Boyertown. They were playing hockey, like basketball or basketball floor hockey. What's that called? Street hockey, right? No skates. And so playing hockey, and I saw him like, man, I should do that. So I went in there and I played that night, and I was like, I'm good at hockey. Like I was playing good. And so I told Lee, as soon as we were done, I'm like, I got to go to the sports store, Schuylkill Valley. And she's like, why? I'm like, because I need to get a hockey stick. And she was like, why? And I was like, because I'm pretty much a professional now, right? And so I got a hockey stick. I taped it up. I bent the blade, spent money on this hockey stick, made the investment, showed up the next Friday night, ready to go, show my skills, had my own hockey stick. The goalie that normally comes didn't show up. And because I was the newest guy that made me play goalie, that was the last time I ever played street hockey. We got any goalies in this place? You were dropped on your head when you were a kid. You know what I'm talking about? Like, they were hitting the ball at me. So I didn't want the assignment. And so this is what you're going to see, different things in this chapter. And people are like, I don't want that time life. And God, and Paul says, no, you need to look at it as an assignment. And here's why. Oftentimes, instead of seeing things as an assignment, we see things as, man, God forgot about me. God doesn't know what he's doing. God's taking too long. Then I meet people that are believers living with all sorts of anxiety in their life, not understanding that it's an assignment. In fact, Galatians 6, Paul says it like this. He says, don't become weary in doing good. Now, is God good? And if God has called you to something, does that make it good? So he says, don't become weary. Don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not get up. So the title of my message today is alignment with your assignment. Alignment, because some of you are asking God, change the road that I'm on, change the situation that I'm in. I started thinking about alignment. It made me think about my car because I have a tendency to hit things. Anybody else? Unapologetically, I'll be like, I have a Jeep, right? Like, and I hit things. I go into my mechanic. He goes to church here. And so, but he's not here at this service. And so I can make a confession to you. Can I do this? I'll take my car into him and he'll be like, your car, we took it out for a test drive. It feels like it's pulling to the right or pulling to the left. And your tires look like they're wearing. And I was like, yeah, because you put sucky tires on my car last time. You used to stop doing that. And he was like, no, it feels like you're hitting things. Have you been hitting things? And I'll be like, Leah probably has, right? Like, Leah, right? She never even drive a car. And what'll happen? If he changes my tires without changing my alignment, right, what happens to my tires when I drive them again? What happens? They wear out. If I get on a different road with new tires, but I don't fix my alignment, what happens to my tires? Like, you have to go in and you have to fix your alignment. God can change your situation. And I think this is why I love this, because 99.9% of the prayers that we're going to pray today are going to be about changing the assignment in your life. Get me out. I'm single. Rescue me. Holy Spirit, move, right? Reminded him of what he does. Fix my marriage. Get me out of that job, right? Get me out. I'm the only, I love when I talk to Christians, like, I just got, God needs to move me. I'm like, why? And like, I'm the only Christian at my job. And I'm like, and? Well, it doesn't make no sense. I said, one Christian amidst a bunch of people that don't know Jesus sounds like a God advantage to me. You don't need to get moved assignment. You need to get aligned with that assignment. I don't want to go to my school. Everybody in my school is so drama filled and all that. I'm like, just wait till you're an adult, right? Like, and I need more Christians in my school. Or I love it. I'll be like, I got to move in neighborhoods. I hate my neighborhood is filled with heathens. I need to go to a quiet. And I'm like, that's why you're there. Like, it's in a, you have to get, so here's what I want to do. The last few times, like, you got to preach faster. And I'll be like, I got it. And I didn't. And so let's just jump in. Let me give you four steps to being aligned with your assignment. Alignment with your assignment. Number one is this. First thing you got to remember is wherever you're at, your assignment is not an accident. Your assignment is not an accident. In fact, I was like, what's the Greek word of assigned, right? Because I want to sound smart to you guys. And the Greek word of assigned, now I don't know how to pronounce it because I didn't look it up, right? but it's spelled M-I-R-I-Z-O with a weird thing on top of it. So if I was the Bible app reader, it'd be like merizo. You know what I'm talking about? And merizo, it means to divide, to allot, and to distribute. So I don't know if you ever, so let me just ask a couple questions, see how much I like you guys today. Brownies, how many like brownies? How many of you are inside brownie people? Like you like no edges on your brownies, just undercooked, yolks still running. Have to lick your fingers when you're done, right? Like, looks like a turd. You know what I'm talking about? Like, anybody? How many of you edge brownie people? You like, I want the edge. How many of you, when somebody's serving you brownies, you didn't make, you have the audacity to sit in front of them and be like, I'm an edge person. Right? Or maybe you don't like brownies, you're like, you just disgusted me, right? Cake. You ever go get a cake and it has like all of the icing on it and you sit down, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like the balloons from Giant and you're like, I want a piece, but I don't want a lot of icing. What? It all has icing on it, right? Or you're like, give me a small piece again. And so essentially we do that with God. We'll be like, well, I want that, but I just want it lighter, right? And I do want that. I want marriage, but I want like a less maintenance marriage. You know what I'm talking about? And I want to go make a difference, but I don't want to have to be different. Like I want to go to a job where I find purpose, but can you also not give me that edge, that like difficulty? You know what I'm talking about? Can you just give me like a job where I make a difference? I want this. And God's like, no, you don't. Like I made the cake. I'm gonna give you what you. And He looks at you and he's like, you're like, I want a big piece. And God's like, I'm gonna be honest with you. According to your spiritual fitness, I think you need a little piece to start off with. And you're like, I only eat edges. And God's like, no, I'm going to soften you up. You got to take the middle, right? Like, I want this. And God's like, no. So it's a picture. You're sitting before God, and God's saying, here, purposefully, here's what I'm going to assign you. And it's not by accident. Your assignment is not an accident, right? It doesn't mean you don't ever ask God to change your situation, right? God, would you change my situation? But when you look at God and you realize everything in your life is happening for a reason, sometimes your prayer is not, God, would you change my situation? Sometimes, because you know you've been assigned by it on purpose, you go, instead of changing my situation, instead, would you change me in the situation? Would you do what you want to do in my life in this situation? Because nothing in my life is an accident. In fact, Paul, one of his most famous messages that he preached in another city of Greece called Athens. And he stood in a very famous part of Athens called Mars Hill. Mars Hill was a spot where smart, theological, argumentative, you know, debating people went. You know what I'm talking about? You ever have a friend like that? Like, they just like to sit around and like to talk about things. And so it could be anything, right? And he goes and he talks to them, and he explains God like this. He said, there's a God who made the world and everything in it. He's the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needs anything from us. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he says it like this. And he marked out their appointed times in history and their boundaries of their land. In other words, what he's trying to say is there's nothing in this world that is random. Everything is relevant to your life. Nothing is happening by chance. I read this article one time. So it's what's crazy. People spend thousands of dollars going to college now, young people. And they come out, and a lot of times they have a hard time finding a job. Have you read about that? And so I'm thinking about it because it's applicable to me because my kids is a year away from there. And so this girl named Sarah went to college to get a marketing degree. Like crazy, crazy money. Liked college so much, had such a heart to do this for a career. She also went and got her master's. So she went 6 years of college, had hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, and had this dream. And her dream was to live in a big city, to live in a high-rise overlooking a park, right? To get up in the morning, put on a power suit with shoulder pads, and go to a marketing firm, right? Business suit, walk in, high heels, click, click, right? All that stuff. Stop at a fancy coffee shop on the way and get a New York bagel, right? Like, glass enclosed conference rooms. Like, she had dreams of that. She went, she got good grades. She had a great internship. She thought she had great connections. She graduates, walks across the stage, sends out her resumes, can't find a job. She's mad at God. God, I did everything you want me to. I went to class and all this stuff, and I can't find a job. She calls her mom. She's like, Mom, I cannot find a job. And her mom's like, I'll pray for you. See what God will do. See if it opened up a door. And so a few days later, her mom calls her up and she said, hey, I found you a job. And she's like, where is it at? She's like, I was looking in the local newspaper. Remember those? And so, and in the help wanted section of the local newspaper, it said that your high school that you went to is in dire need of a substitute English teacher. And I think you'd be really good at it. She got mad at her mom. You ever been there with God? I remember my first church. I was like, I did not go to 4 years of Bible college, sit through Greek class and Hebrew class to hang out with middle school kids. You know what I'm talking about? Like, there has got to be more to my life than this. Like, I did not go to do all this to go teach kids. But she couldn't find a job, so eventually she moved home. She had to. And she went to the school, and she applied for the job, and she got the job as a high school English teacher, and she went in, and she went in begrudgingly. Because sometimes you don't have to go in happy, you just need to go in. And she went in, and she took the job, and she kind of went through the motions for the first couple days. She did attendance. She did what substitute teachers tend to do, not take it serious. And she just prayed, God, make this quick. Get me out of this place. And about 3 days into her job, this high school girl came up and stopped her at the end of class. And she just said, Miss, can I ask you something? She said, do you think God is real? And if he's real, do you think he cares about people like me? And she said the moment wrecked her. She began to realize that this wasn't an interruption in her real life. This was an assignment. She went back to school and got her classes. She got her certification, whatever that is. And so, certificate, I don't know. And so, I'm not a teacher. Whatever you got to get. And she ended up coming on full time at that school. And they asked her about that decision, and she said, God didn't give me what I wanted. He gave me what I was made for. I thought I was wasting my time, but he was using me the whole time. She said, this assignment wasn't an accident. It was designed for who I really was. I thought this was a detour, but this was actually a destination for me. See, the problem with so many of you is you think what you're living is an accident, and when you live in an accident, you're trying to escape it, but when you see it as an appointment, you'll begin to embrace it. Let me give you another thought that's really important. You don't have to love the assignment to trust the assigner. Because I know what you're saying. I don't like where God has me. You are preaching to the choir. You're like, are you talking about? Yes. Okay. And so, if you would ask my wife, we moved here in 2005, if you would ask her over the last 20 years, you love what God is doing in your life? It'd be like, some days. I live 21 hours from my family. I'm in Pennsylvania. If you've ever gone down south, you know, you hit West Virginia, Virginia, different world. You go west, hit Ohio, different world. You guys are just crazy. Am I right or wrong? Because sometimes I talk to Pennsylvania people, they're like, you're judging us. I'm like, no, here, we'll take a road trip together. You'll see. You can drive on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and when you get through the Pennsylvania Turnpike onto the Ohio Turnpike, even the Turnpike is nicer. And so when you say, I don't love my assignment, I don't love it, I don't love it, I don't feel connected to it, I don't want to be there, I get all that. There's times you don't love it. There's times you're in your marriage like, I don't love this assignment, right? You don't have to love the assignment to trust the assignment. I was thinking about it. I'm not like a vegetable planter. I don't grow vegetables, right? It's 2025. I could buy them, right? And so, but I know people that do. Could you imagine taking the seed out, if the seed could talk, and taking the seed out from its package and like setting it down on the counter for a second and the sun's hitting it and then picking the seed up, the seed's reaction as you're about to bury it in the dirt? What do you think the seed's doing if it could talk? No! Because the seed don't realize. If the seed sits on the counter in the sun or in the package, it can't grow no fruit, no plants, right? It has to go in the dirt to produce the fruit, right? I don't think the seed loves the assignment. You don't have to love the assignment to trust the assigner. I wish that God was like, you know what? Your feelings and your happiness is all I need from you. If you don't like it, it's bad for you. I mean, think about that. Wouldn't that be incredible when it came to vegetables? If vegetables were only healthy based on your liking of them? So like your kids, you're like, here, eat these broccoli. And they were like, I don't like broccoli. And you're like, okay, broccoli's not good anymore. That would be incredible, but that's not how it works. Just because you don't like something doesn't mean it's not good for you. And so you don't have to love the assignment to trust the assigner. Let me ask you something. Do you trust the assigner? Isn't it weird that we have a hard time with trust when it comes to God? Like, you know, the main thing that we preach is the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? The gospel of Jesus Christ says that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death and hell, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. For anyone who calls on him shall be saved. You guys have heard that before, right? That's the gospel. The promise of the gospel is when you're saved, you're not just saved to have freedom on this side of eternity, but when you take your next breath after this breath and you're dead and you go into eternity, that you'll stand before God and he'll see what Jesus did for you on the cross and you'll step into eternity, into perfection, the promise of heaven. That is what the gospel is. Now, some of us are like, yes, I love it. You trust God with heaven, but the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can comprehend the things God has prepared. That means if you ask me what heaven's like, I'm going to be like, it's cool. I'm not going to try to describe it with my words. I cannot. That's how good it's going to be. And I tell people, put your faith in Jesus, and we are like, I'll trust him. And then when I'm like, hey, along with trusting him with forever, you should trust him with the next 65 years of your life. I don't know if I can do that. You know what I'm talking about? Like, kids are like that. My kids will get in a car and let me drive them 11 hours to Myrtle Beach and 21 hours to Oklahoma, right? They'll get in the back. They fall asleep really quickly. They sleep. Like, we go to Myrtle Beach, they sleep all the way down there, right? You would think, it's like a moving death box. You know what I'm talking about? It's going 75 to 90 miles an hour. You would think they'd be in the back being like, my father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Please, you know what I mean? My dad's an idiot. Please, you know, all this stuff. They just go to sleep. Harrison gets in the very back, takes all of his clothes off, goes to sleep, right? He like, we could get in one accident, the entire world would see his skibbies. He don't care, right? Like, he just goes to sleep, right? Because they trust me. And then we come home, and I'm like, hey, you guys should make your bed in the morning. And they're like, what? You trust me to drive you 20 hours to Oklahoma, right? Sleeping, but you don't trust me when I tell you leaders make their beds in the morning. Now some of you are like, no, creative people don't. I said leaders. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, a creative person leads you, right? You don't know which direction they're going to go. Like, get up and they argue with me. I trust you there, but I'm not going to trust you with your bed. Don't send me an email. And so you don't have to love your assignment to trust the assigner in your life. Let me give you just a few more. Number three. It stops praying when you want to get alignment with your assignment. You stop praying for a different position and you start praying for a different posture. This one's important. This is a maturing one. You stop only praying, God, change my position. Change my where I live. Change my school. Change my job. Change my marital status. Change my singleness. God, change my situation. And instead, because you trust the assigner and you understand nothing in your life is random, it's all relevant, you say, God, instead of changing my position, God, would you help me get my posture in alignment with you? You see, your posture is more important than your position. Position is where God placed you. Posture is how you respond to being there. And let me just encourage you. Your posture determines the profit. This one's important. Your posture. Let's just make it practical. So every seat in this room on this floor is the same. Yes or no? Okay, yes or no. You guys very not confident about that. All the seats in the back are all the same. Yes or no? Back. Right? So there's 226 some seats back there and 300 and some seats on the floor. They're all relatively the same. Right? The music that you all just heard, was it all the same? We have like a special section for you where you're like, I like hymnals, right? Put you in a little box back there. No, all the music is here. It all sounds the same, right? Like you try to hide from the subs, you can't hide from that, right? And so we make sure every seat thumps. And so Like there's subs everywhere. Everybody in this room hears the same message today, yes or no? Parked in the same parking lot. If you got coffee, drank the same coffee, you walked up, you're like, I want organic free range. And they're like, you get Costco coffee, right? We'll pray for it, right? And so you all the same, like all the same, right? And here's what's crazy. All the same experience. Yet one person in the room, your posture is very, right? He's taking too long. He has 4 points. Oh, my gosh. They didn't even sit me where I can see the confidence monitor. He's taking forever, right? And worship, you're just through the motions. And you leave this place, and you're like, I just get nothing there. Yeah, because your posture literally says to the Creator, don't come near me. There's other people, same room, same message, right? Same music. Music starts here early. Want to be in the presence of God. We're preaching. Man, I just said the word prophet. You're taking note. He said prophet. I'm going to get that tattoo right there. What was that Greek word he said? I'm going to get, like, complete my arm sleeve, right? Like, all this other, and, like, everything, man. You're locked into worship. You're locked into expectation. You're walking in here. Your attitude is different. You ever meet somebody, like, everybody there is mean. Nobody smiles at me. That's because you look mean. Other people, everywhere you go, you make friends. Same environment, right? Different posture. It's your posture that determines your profit. Now, I'll give you an example. Anybody go to Starbucks here? Starbucks. I love Starbucks. And what's funny about Starbucks is some people work at Starbucks, send you the clear message when you get in there, you're not supposed to be in there. Like, you're doing them a disfavor by coming to the place where they're getting paid. One of my favorite things is to go to Starbucks at 6:30 when it closes at 7 and order coffee. It's like, what are you doing in here? I'm like, you're open until 7, right? The chairs are stacked. I'm like, I think they've been stacked since 4 today, right? And so, like, I love going in there. So this girl got a job at Starbucks, and she hated it. You ever have a job you hate? She prayed God would move her, and she came into a sermon like this, and she got wrecked by a message about assignment, and she realized, you know, I'm assigned to this Starbucks. So she went, the next day she went in with a new mentality. And by the way, her mentality was not, I'm going to do this for a week, change my assignment. Her mentality was, I'll do this until you change my assignment. She went in, she started meeting people, smiling. She started introducing herself to her customers. She started remembering them on a first name basis. She started figuring out what they wanted. She would have their drinks being made before they walked in. Oh, you want a pumpkin latte, I got extra pumpkin for you today, right? She started praying over every cup, but not in a weird Christian Facebook way where you let everybody know you're praying. You know what I'm talking about? What the heck, right? What are we doing anyway? And so, like, just pray. Like, what did the Bible say? Go into a closet, you hypocrite, right? Anyway, and so, don't get me started. And praying over the drinks, but just like, hey, God, touch this person. And she's doing that. And she does it for a year. Good attitude, going to church, thanking God for the assignment. And about a year in, this dude walks in who was her customer for the last year on a first name basis. Hey, what's up, man? Hey, she says, hey. And he says, hey, I've been watching you for the last year, because somebody's always watching you. I've been watching you for the last year, and I noticed how much you care about this job. And he said, I own a business, and I have an assistant manager position open. And here's the salary, which ended up being 3 times the amount she was making at Starbucks. And she said, I don't have, you know, the background, the schooling. I don't have, he said, I don't need schooling. I just need your heart. Some of you, you're so adamant about God changing your position. And God's like, I can't change your position because you don't yet have the right heart. Change your posture. I'm at that school for a reason. I'm at that job for a reason. Some girl just stopped me first service. I got time. I'm almost done. But stopped me after first service. She said, this message came at a perfect time. To encourage me, because I've been whining about my job because I'm a people person and there's no people there. And I've been trying to figure out why God had me at that job, because there's nobody there to talk to, and I love to talk. And she said, just this week, somebody who never talks came walking up to me, and we started talking, and she started asking me weird questions about God and faith. And I got to start telling her, yeah, I've been going to church and watching certain, and all these other things. And then she lived it, and she, like, went through this whole conversation with this woman, and she said, I realize now that I'm in the right spot. Like, it is a posture thing. It is a mentality thing. So let me just give you one more. Number four. Your alignment with your assignment will end up aligning your mentality with God's methods. So let me just, there's a method to God's madness. You ever meet somebody like that? You're like, what is wrong with you? right? How many remember the old school movie, Karate Kid? Oh, that song. I mean, I have murdered that sermon illustration, but I can do it again. And so, but he brings the karate kid in. He teaches them to wax on, wax off. And the whole time, you're like, this dude's crazy, right? Like, he's just getting free labor. But there's a method to the madness in that movie. You see it play out when he's in the karate tournament and the Cobra Kai tries to hit him. And he's like, wah, wah, right? And like, oh, wow. And you're like, oh, there's a method to the madness. This one's important. Because when you correct your posture and you see things differently, right? The Bible talks about the way you see things, that there's power in that. And so you begin to get a God-sized vision for your life. You see the point of why you are where you're at. You see the way that God works. There's a method to his madness. Your mentality changes. I'll say it like this. I'll just give you some. So like anybody struggle with endurance? Like you just quit a lot. Don't gotta shake your head. But like you start and then you stop things all the time. And I'm just gonna, like, I'm asking that question, but I know you, so I'm just gonna tell you, yes, you do. And so, like, you need endurance. And the Bible talks about, like, endurance, perseverance, that completes your faith. Like, that's what sets you apart, the ability to keep going. And so if you're gonna need, watch this is how it works. If you're gonna need endurance in the next season God has taken you into, the next assignment, in this assignment, he will often give you long stretches without visible results. That's how he works. If he's trying to get you ready for your next assignment, in this assignment, if you need endurance, he's going to give you long stretches when it appears like nothing's happening. If you need compassion in the next season. You know what compassion is? Compassion is what Jesus had where it says that he literally felt pain for people. You know what I'm talking about? You know how some people be like, I'll pray for you. Okay. Or certain people are like, I'll show up and I'll be with you. That's compassion. If you need compassion in your next season, God will often give you people to serve who can't repay you and drive you crazy in this season. If you need boldness in your next season, he'll give you opportunities to speak up when it's uncomfortable in this one. If you need gratitude coming up, he'll give you a season where you must live on less. If you need patience for your next season, he'll often give you seasons of waiting in this season. If you need a little courage, he'll give you small battles in this one. If you need humility, he'll give you obscurity in this season. If you need faith, he'll give you impossibilities in this one. You see how he works? He's always preparing you for the next season. There's a method to God's madness. It's not an accident. It's an assignment. I'm not asking you if you love the assignment. I'm asking you, do you trust the assigner? God, don't change my position. I hope. Some of you, you come up here and pray today, and your prayer literally, you're like, I've done everything. God, I need you to move. But I hope some of you come up and just say, can you just pray for my attitude? Can you pray for my heart? Can you pray for my endurance? Can you pray? The Bible says that he's an ever-present help in a time of need. God, would you meet me here in this moment? It's not an accident. It's an assignment. He has purpose in this season. Would you stand to your feet? Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes with me? God, thank you that you're in control. Thank you that that you take responsibility for us, your kids. Lord, I ask you to move over the next few moments. Move through communion. Move through worship. Move through prayer. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. We expect you to move mightily in this place. The Bible promises where two or more are gathered in the name of Jesus that you show up. So Lord, would you move? Would you move? Would you move? Maybe with every head bowed and every eye closed before we take communion. Communion is a reminder and a celebration of who Jesus is. It's not religion. It's a celebration of a relationship. That God came to us. That he laid down his life for us. That he gave up his body for us. That he shed his blood for us. So I think there's a benefit to remembering this often. As you've been a believer for years, it's really difficult sometimes to remember the goodness of God in your life. But maybe you're new here today. Maybe you don't yet know Jesus. Maybe you've experienced religion. but you never had the opportunity to have a relationship with God through His Son. Before we move forward and we take communion together, maybe God's knocking at the door of your heart. All you gotta do is say yes. Jesus, would you meet me here in this moment? He has an amazing way of working things out, of bringing you to the spot you're supposed to be, of giving you a message that you can understand, of seeking you, even when you've been running from Him. And I can promise you, He's here. And He wants a relationship. And here's what I would say. Until you get this one right, nothing else is going to make sense. There's not enough success. There's not enough things for you to buy. There's not enough things for you to accomplish. There's not a person out there that's going to complete you. The Bible says that's like building your house on sand. And life comes, storms come, and that foundation is faulty. You need to build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ. He'll sustain you. He'll heal you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll be a friend that sits closer than a brother. And He's here. And the Bible says, you would call, He would answer. So before we do communion, man, you say, that's me, Pastor. I don't know Jesus, but I need to. I want to lead you in a simple prayer all over this house before we take communion. I need Jesus Christ to meet me here in this moment. Come on, unashamedly, if that's you. I need Jesus. Would you just begin to place your hand straight towards heaven? I need Jesus Christ. I need Him to heal me. I need Him to forgive me. I see a hand. I see a hand. I need Jesus to forgive me. Another hand right here. Yes, you can keep clapping. Pray something like this together. Jesus, we love You. And we thank You for dying on a cross for our sins. We thank You for saving us and rescuing us. And we thank You, Jesus, that today, because of You, we're a brand new person. Before we move forward, let's take communion together. So let's open up our cup. Let's take out the wafer. Just put it in your hand. All over this house, would you just begin to thank Jesus in your own words? You can talk to Jesus like you talk to a friend. Jesus, we thank You for this wafer. It represents Your body. God, it was beaten and bruised and whipped and nailed to a cross for us. The Bible says, by Your stripes we're healed. Jesus, if we're ever wondering if You love us, all we got to do is picture those nail-scarred hands. What You are willing to do for us. And so, Lord, we thank You. Those that met You for the very first time and those that have known You for years, we always return to the foot of the cross and see Your sacrifice, Your glory. We thank You for Your love. Let's take the bread together. Now you can pull back the top. And if you've never taken communion before, Jesus, He's the one that establishes. The bread represents His body. The juice represents His blood. The blood's a new covenant. It represents the forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. And so you are not in a religion where you're constantly wondering if God loves you. The blood establishes that. Amen. So let's tell Him in our own words, Jesus, we love You and we thank You for Your blood. Thank You that that blood represents the atonement or payment of our sins. That we are not a product of our past, but Lord, we are a son or daughter of the Most High, in relationship with You, established in love. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You for Your blood. The Bible says the blood washes us white as snow. And so we're free, we're forgiven, we're healed, and we're whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's take the cup together. Now we're going to spend time praying. This is literally my shortest time I've ever preached in my life. Because the most important part of what's going to happen here today is going to happen in the next 13 minutes. If you're worrying about something, if you're weary, if you're heavy laden, come to Jesus, He'll give you rest. If there's something in your life that's bigger than you, come to Jesus, it's not bigger than God. If you just decided to respond to Jesus Christ, man, you need somebody to pray with, come pray with somebody in the front. And so there's going to be people all across the front up here where the chairs usually are. You'll see them on both sides. And we're just going to start singing. If you need prayer, just move and give prayer. If you don't want to move forward, maybe just turn around in your seat and make an altar at your seat right there and have some time with in the presence of God. Maybe you don't want to do that. You just want to lift your hands and thank God for His goodness. But let's just invite the Spirit of God to move over the next few moments in this place in a profound and powerful way. Amen?
Thank you again for checking out our podcast. If you made the decision to give your life to Jesus today, we encourage you to visit our website. You can visit us at jrny.church to find resources, ask questions, and get more information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. Have a great rest of your week.